News Talk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. Money experts are great and can teach us a lot. Already on this podcast, we've looked at starting investing, where you're missing out with KiwiSaver, and how to save money renting, among a bunch of other topics. Those, in my totally unbiased opinion, are all great topics. I couldn't have tackled them without talking to an expert. But when it comes to savings in our daily life, sometimes the experts miss. It's easy to forget what life's like when money isn't your area of expertise, but instead just one of many things you're trying to juggle. So this week, my expert is you. I asked people on Facebook and Twitter to hit me with their best money-saving tips and tell me how they went using them themselves. I unleashed a tsunami of great tips and tricks. So, let's rip into them.
News Talk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by podcast listeners. Now, before we get started, I just want to add one note of caution. I assume none of my listeners are financial advisors. This episode is a collection of community wisdom, some of which will apply to you, some of it won't. If you're unsure about something, please do go and talk to a financial advisor. So, without further ado, tip number one, pay yourself first. Here's how that worked for @sassyshirley1 on Twitter.
Every paycheck, I have a set amount sent automatically to my savings. It definitely made a difference. It sounds silly, but not seeing the money in my checking account means I won't spend it.
Then Sue on Facebook.
A small amount each pay. Set up to an auto pay to a separate bank where you never bother to go and check because you don't use it for anything else. It adds up to some nice surprises.
And finally, Siobhan on Facebook.
I get paid fortnightly. I pay myself enough to get by, then put the rest in a savings account that charges me $5 per withdrawal.
This idea of paying yourself first or saving before anything else is the biggest thing that's made a difference to my finances. I remember when I was a kid, one of my friend's parents told me that money burned a hole in my pocket, and I was just so offended. Because the truth hurts, to be honest, and she totally nailed me on that one. I've been this way since I first got pocket money. If I have money, I find excuses to spend it and things that I tell myself I need. I do not need them. So take a good hard look at your money and figure out what you can save. Maybe you want to set up an auto payment. That's what's worked for me. My savings go out the day after I get paid and I don't see them again. Of course, some people do need more flexibility. Maybe you're just scraping by, maybe you've got kids, maybe your paydays aren't properly in sync with your bills. But no problem. Just every time you get paid, make sure you put something into savings, no matter how small. Then don't touch it. Anything is better than nothing. Tip number two, track your spending. Here's how it works for @pseudonymous from Twitter.
Track your discretionary spending. I use an app. It makes you so aware of how much you're spending. I use Wally as it doesn't require me to set up a budget or input income details first. My major area was groceries that surprised me. But more than specific things, it was how small individual items quickly added up for a day. You know this, but seeing it makes you know it.
And Stephanie on Facebook.
When I was younger, I got a notebook and wrote in every cent I spent. Very confronting. I saved $60 a week, and that was a lot of money in those days. I couldn't believe how quickly it turned into $1,000. The thought of writing down stupid stuff put me off buying it.
Now, isn't that the truth? Tracking means you can't tell yourself all of those comforting little lies about how it's not your fault you ran out of money. Depending on how you track it, some apps also let you see what type of spending is adding up the most, like socializing or maybe your transport costs. As they say, the first step is admitting you have a problem. And when you track your spending, you get confronted by the cold, hard facts. Tip number three, automate your bills, then take out cash for your spending money. Save any change that you get. Here's Sam from Facebook.
I withdraw a certain amount of notes for spending each week rather than using an FPOS card. Then every time I make a purchase with a note, I put all the coins that I got as change into a piggy bank. Amazing how fast it added up.
and at Southern Crumble from Twitter.
I have a set amount each fortnight for bills, so things like your power, your phone, then automatic payments for everything else. I take out the cash for the fortnight and everything left over is savings. Also, a wee thing we do that saves quite a bit is a coin jar. Because we use cash, we put the coins in a jar, and it can be quite a bit, around $600 to $700 a year.
There are so many good things about this bit of advice. First of all, automatic payments. I live by these days. When I first went into the workforce, I needed a smartphone, and yes, I did actually need it, and yes, I had to pay for it myself. And then each month I'd think, oh, I don't have much spare this month, I'll pay both bills next month. Stop judging me, I was young and dumb. Anyway, at one point this spiraled for about 3 months, and then my phone got cut off, which was a totally predictable outcome. However, for some reason, I was enraged and thought it was their fault for not warning me. I mean, I think the bill is the warning. Anyway, after that, I set up an automatic payment. The impulse to not pay my bill was still there, but I would log into my internet banking, see it had already gone out, be momentarily grumpy, and then continue with my day. Everything was fine. Automatic payments are the best. To then do your daily life in cash is great because you see the money dwindling in your wallet and it's a really good visual reminder of where you're at. Saving the change may not sound like it will get you far, but every little helps. And like Southern Crumble said, he saved around $700 one year. That's not to be sneezed at. Okay, now we move into the eating and drinking phase. Tip number 4. Cut way back on the expensive food and drink. A lot of people messaged me about this. Here's Jackson.
Not drinking. No booze. No 3 a.m. kebabs. No hangover KFC.
Here's at Lyndon Hood.
I guess not drinking, but what I'm actually doing is prepping gear for homebrew, which seems pretty good for cost and time. You can get a beer starter kit for $99, makes 23 litres, so you're already $15 ahead, even for something like supermarket Budweiser.
And El Politico.
Not eating out. Eating and drinking out is so expensive. I try to do big group dinners so you can catch up with everyone all at once. It's easy for me because I like cooking, so I even do one-on-one catch-ups at home.
Can't forget the coffee addicts. Here's at Hayden Kirk NZ.
Drop the coffees. I was pretty bad. 2 or 3 a day at $5 adds up quick.
And lastly, at Ty Sampson with a lesson for all of us.
I switched from being a hardcore coffee snob to just drinking instant coffee every morning, and I'm saving about $10 a day just from that switch. I went from, this is something I'm passionate about, to, this is a practical ritual in order to wake up.
And here's the thing, you can still have fun while on a budget. I did a whole episode about that a couple of weeks ago. Having dinner parties at home, or potluck dinners, or making your own coffee, it definitely adds up. One thing for me is that I love watching people from a cafe, but I don't need to buy a whole meal for that. I can nurse one $5 coffee and have a relaxing chat, save myself $20 on food. The cafe staff probably hate me, but I'm okay with that. And look, no, I don't think you can save up a house deposit by giving up coffee. That's been well and truly debunked. But if you're buying 2 or 3 coffees a day, or you feel like your social life is constantly making you go broke, you can make changes. Of course, a lot of this depends on what brings joy into your life. If you can't stand the idea of tip number 4, then here's tip number 5. Sweat the big stuff instead of the small stuff. At Josh Ford, nails it.
To make sure we cover the important savings so I can do blowouts but on small stuff, lunch or whatever, not $400 shoes. Basically, 3 coffees a week is less expensive than getting under pressure at work or not making your mortgage payments and things like that. Small pleasures.
And at Kate Montgomery has the same idea.
Do your research with fixed expenses like insurance and cell phone and call your providers for better deals. You can save a few $100 a year per call. That was way easier than using willpower daily to not buy a coffee for me.
Last one from at Morgan Jones, who's all about spreading those big purchases.
Whenever I buy an expensive item, such as a phone or an instrument, I define a minimum number of years before I'm allowed to upgrade or replace. So, for example, no new computer until 2022 and no new base until 2033, but I can upgrade my phone this year from a 2012 iPhone. It forces me to appreciate what I have and to budget in advance.
And here's the thing. Sometimes you've cut back as much as you can on the little stuff, or even as much as you want to. One of the best tips I ever heard was to write down your spending and then record how happy it made you as well. You might be surprised if you're feeling guilty about that impulse buy. Remember that. And next time you're tempted, remind yourself that actually it made you feel miserable. But if a couple of coffees out or a couple of lunches out are what make you happy and you can afford it, then do it. Look at something like powerswitch.org.nz instead. See if you can get a better deal on electricity or insurance and whatever other bills you've got. Shop around. Don't be afraid to tell the companies that you want a better deal. And then don't blow the money that you save. Speaking of impulse spending, here's one of my worst areas. Tip number 6. Get smarter about how you buy clothes. At Fingers Crossed is a bargain hunter.
Buy clothes end of season. You still wear them 2 to 3 months for a third of the price. Especially good quality boots and winter coats. Saves a lot and lasts a couple of years.
Whereas Katrina has a handy arrangement to not spend a thing.
I go round and borrow, maybe steal, some of my sister's clothes, so I don't get tempted to buy new ones. She loves it.
I'm sure she does. But truly, end-of-season sales can be amazing. I don't think I've bought a full-price winter coat for the last 5 years. I like them black, with a hood, and on sale in August. They're expensive when they're full price, but they last years, and the type I like is so standard that nobody's going to sneer at me for being out of fashion. Although if anybody does do that, they sound like somebody to ignore anyway. Another favourite thing for me is op shops. You can find some amazing things there. I'm talking silk dresses for $10. And it's fun rummaging around. Borrowing off people like Katrina does doesn't just apply to clothes either. If something at your house needs fixing, ask around for anyone with power tools. Before you buy something for a one-off, put the word out there. Sharing things amongst ourselves cuts a lot of cost out. Tip number 7. Even if you're eating at home, be careful about food prices. Here's at Dilla Monster.
I'm super attentive to the per kilo costs in supermarket foods. It's buried on the pricing labels. Sometimes larger packages aren't better value.
Which is true, by the way. And at BenMacNZ takes that a step further.
It may sound weird, but I rarely buy food that's regular price. I mostly buy things on clearance, like bread or soup that expires in a day. Most discounts are at night, it seems.
Now, on that note, you might be surprised at how much food you're throwing away that you don't need to. In New Zealand, there are two types of expiry dates for food. If it says use by, don't mess with it. That's for food that can't be legally sold after that date because it poses a health or safety risk. Think chicken that's going to go bad. But best by, well, that just means when it's at its peak, there may be nothing wrong with it. Our official government regulators say, quote, you can still eat foods for a while after the best before date, as they should be safe, but they may have lost some quality, end quote. Sniff test it, and don't throw out perfectly good food. We have people who go hungry right here in New Zealand, for starters, and you'll save a bunch of money, secondly. Just don't sue me if you misjudge the sniff test. That's on you. Now, in terms of getting hold of that food in the first place, it's time-honored advice to say, consider growing your own food. Not everyone is in the position where they can. But even if you move house a lot, maybe you could have some window planters. You can grow a surprising amount in those. There are also community groups around who do amazing stuff. Here in Wellington, the Salvation Army has a weekly deal where you get 2 shopping bags full of fruit and veggies for only $12. If you're not in Wellington, maybe get online and Google what's around, or get in touch with your local Sally's or other community groups. Even if they themselves don't run anything, they'll know if there's someone out there who does. The point is, even if you're having trouble with your grocery bill, you don't have to give up eating healthily. Tip number 8, walk or cycle wherever you can. Here's at Patrick Morgan.
Go car free. I shaved years off my mortgage, got fit, and avoided traffic jam purgatory. No fuel bills, WAF, rego, repairs, parking, or depreciation.
Now, to be fair, Patrick Morgan is a well-known cycling advocate, but he is right in this instance. Once you've got a bike, it's incredibly efficient, and it will take you quite big distances quickly. If you don't have a bike, check out Trade Me for some second-hand ones. Or maybe, again, among your friends and family, there might be someone who has a bike that they don't use anymore. Myself, I like walking. I find it a really nice way to wind down at the end of the day. For years, I've had it as my rule that I want to try to be within half an hour's walk of wherever I work. Now, this wasn't possible when I worked in Auckland because, damn Auckland, your rents are so expensive. But the rest of the time, it's always been cheaper for me to live close by. Even when I'm in Wellington now, where rents and house prices aren't great, it's still cheaper for me to be central, because by the time you work out fuel, upkeep, WAF, all the rest of it, that outweighs any savings for me to be living further out. You'll also get fit, which brings me to another tip, which nobody messaged me about, but I'm bringing it up anyway. Tip number 9, ditch your gym membership. Now, I'm not saying ditch exercise completely, I'm sorry, but there are ways to get fit without spending hundreds on the gym. There is, of course, running, which some people love and I hate with a passion, but it's almost free apart from running shoes, so if that's your thing, go for it. What works for me is YouTube videos. They're totally free. I'm not ripping anyone off because they get paid for the ads, and the trainers who make videos there totally kick my butt. I have some handheld weights and a Swiss ball, and I inherited both of those from other people who weren't using them, so I didn't even have to spend on that. I did this all through my student years, and then when I finally got a job, I thought, woohoo, I'm getting a gym membership, I'm fancy now. And then I never went. Because it turns out even just having to motivate myself to leave the house to go to the gym is too much for me. I actually like the videos better. I like the variety. I like being able to literally search 30-minute core workout and have options pop up that are sorted by how popular they are. It just works. And lastly, tip number 10. Get rewarded for your bad habits. Now, this was sent to me by someone who was being cheeky, but actually, they have a point. Here's at NZGizmoGuy.
I have no tips for saving, but when you accept you have a spending habit, join a credit card reward scheme and get free flights and cheaper holidays.
Now, this has a huge warning on it. Some of those credit cards will cost you more in fees than what you'll earn in air points or whatever the reward is. But there are also ways to get them without the fees, such as if you're a member of a union at work. Check to see if your workplace or union has negotiated for you to get a free credit card somewhere. I'm lucky enough to have one of these credit cards, although I'm not in charge of it, my husband is, because I can't be trusted with a credit card. We've already talked about how money burns a hole in my pocket. But every time one of our family members makes a big purchase, they know to call us, buy whatever it is on our credit card, and then pay us back immediately. We get the air points and are planning a nice little holiday for when we both turn 30 next year. So, these are the 10 tips. 1. Pay yourself first. 2. Track your spending. 3. Automate your bills. Use cash for spending money and save your change. 4. Cut way back on the expensive food and drink. Alternatively, 5. Sweat the big stuff instead of the small stuff. 6. Get smarter about how you buy clothes. 7. Even if you're eating at home, be careful about food prices. 8. Walk or cycle wherever you can. 9. Ditch your gym membership. And 10. Get rewarded for bad habits. Thank you to everybody who sent me in a tip. There were so many I couldn't possibly use all of them, but I did see them all, and you guys have some great ideas. And of course, a big thank you to my co-workers who voiced your comments. That's Machu Workman and Ruby Spank. If you have any questions about this podcast or an idea for the future, come and join the conversation online. You can find me on Facebook at Frances Cook Journalist and Twitter at Frances Cook. Don't forget to subscribe on the Apple Podcasts app or on iHeartRadio to make sure you never miss a money tip. Until next time, have a great day.
And that's Frances cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.